It's an amazing statement. Woe to thee, O land, when a child is the king. I want everybody to listen real carefully to what I'm going to say before I pray. I want to make it very plain that children are supposed to obey their parents. I want to make it very plain that fellowship is supposed to obey leadership. I want to make it very, very plain. I'm going to talk to leadership tonight, and some people in places of fellowship may think I'm giving you a license not to follow. Nothing could be further from the truth. You're supposed to follow leadership. When leadership is not followed, you have anarchy, and no institution can run without following leadership. When Moses led the Israelites out of the promised land, he simply said, I'll follow God and you follow me. And they had no trouble until they got to a place where they appointed a committee. They appointed a committee of 12 people. And that committee voted not to go forward. And for 40 years, Israel paid for it by languishing in the wilderness. I am not condoning tonight rebellion at all. And I may give somebody tonight, I may give my enemies tonight some fodder. So if you're my enemy tonight, I'd suggest you get your pen and pencil out right now, and I'll allow you to take notes. Nobody will take notes now, will they? But maybe that's the way I ought to get you to do it every time. But it will give you some ammunition, and so listen carefully and remember everything that you can, because I'm going to give you some things tonight that you can really use against me if you want to twist them. But I'm going to give you tonight a message that everybody in the room ought to hear. I'm going to read, without your turning to it, I'm going to read some passages of Scripture. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm skipping over some different places here. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Oh, how those of us in places of leadership love to read those verses, and how we love to wave them at the face of fellowship, claiming our right for their fellowship. Now, the Bible does command them to follow and obey. But it'd be a good thing if the leaders would look at the verses that apply to the leaders. Please, no talking. It's so much easier for a father to read that which applies to a child, and not that which applies to a father. Now, I want you to follow me very, very carefully tonight. I'm going to tell you one of the main things wrong with this nation, from the roots of the nation all the way to the White House. Woe to thee, O land, when a child is the king. Our Father, I pray you to help tonight as I speak to leadership. Bless this message to the strengthening of leadership and to the growth of leadership and leaders, including this preacher. Amen. I'm talking tonight because nearly everybody in this room, talking to nearly everybody in this room, because nearly everybody in this room is in some capacity a leader. Either you are a parent, you are a Sunday school teacher, you are a pastor, you are a bus captain, you are a father, husband, wife, mother, Sunday school teacher, WMS officer, Christian school teacher, administrator, coach. I dare say that I dare say that 99% of all the people 18 years of age and older in this room have some place of leadership. The world is dying for leadership. Dying. All you got to do is look at people running for office and listen to them make speeches. We elect officials because they have pretty smiles or charisma. I am not advocating Mr. Iacocca tonight, but I'm saying that I think a man who can build an automobile empire and has proved his leadership more than some guy went to college and took political science and ran for city councilman and then ran for mayor and then ran for Congress, and all he's ever done is just win a bunch of popularity contests. You may as well choose a Miss America to be the vice president with him. She's done as much as he has and looks a lot better, I think. So I hear. But our country is dying for leadership. You've heard the story. I've heard it. You'll tell it, and I've told it. I won't tell it again, whether you want to hear it again or not. You've heard the story about the fella in the war who called in the headquarters and said, I captured a prisoner. What shall I do with him? And headquarters said, bring him on back in to headquarters. The soldier said, he won't come. He said, then come on back yourself. He said, he won't let me. And that's sort of typical of our leadership in America. Our text tonight finds a child as a king. There were at least two occasions in the Bible when a little boy, primary age, 5, 6, 7 years of age, was a king. I do not know if King Solomon was talking about either of these. I do not know. But in the story, a child is the king. Now follow me carefully. Hear me carefully. Everybody right this way. He has the position. And the child has the Bible to prove his authority. Doesn't the Bible say obey those who have authority over you? Doesn't the Bible say be subject to the higher powers? Didn't we hear a while ago in the Bible we're supposed to obey the kings? Now here's a little boy, little primary boy, first grade boy. He's a king. He has the position, and he can take the Bible and say, you're supposed to obey me. I'm the king. There's the Bible. You obey me because the Bible says to do so. And the people are commanded not only by the king, the little boy, but by the Bible to obey. And he can say, obey me, for the Bible says so. But the wise man said, woe to thee, O land, when a child is king. Now look at me. Wake up, fellows on the front. Look at me. Follow me carefully. He has the right. He can claim it. Has a Bible. But God is saying here, woe to the country who has such a king. Because that king is unqualified, unprepared, undedicated, and is only claiming the Bible right for fellowship. Now, he has a right to do it. And for the sake of law and order in society, we are supposed to obey authority. We could put it this way. Woe to thee, O church, when a child is thy pastor. Woe to thee, O wife, when a child is thy husband. Woe to thee, O child, when a child is thy father. Woe to thee, O children, when a child is thy mother. Woe to thee, O school, when a child is thy principal. Woe to thee, O country, when a child is thy president. Woe to thee, O city, when a child is thy neighbor or thy mayor. Now I want to make seven statements. Follow me carefully. Statement number one, leadership has claimed its spiritual right without being qualified. When that takes place, woe is that country, or woe is that institution. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't have a right. Weak leadership can take the Bible and prove it's supposed to be followed. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be. I'm just saying it's a pretty sorry person that has that as the only right to be a leader. And I'm saying that leadership would be a lot better off to find out what the Bible says to it in order to become a good leader than spend his time trying to find out what the Bible says to its followers in claiming its right to lead because the Bible says the follower is supposed to follow. Yes, the nation is supposed to obey the king if he's a child. The Bible says it. But what a foolish king who would sit on a throne not prepared. And how unfortunate that nation. And God pronounces a woe on that nation who has a king whose only right to leadership is his divine right according to the Bible. Let me say again, we're supposed to obey those who have authority over us. Let me say again, children are supposed to obey parents. Let me say again, the Bible's very plain about the fellowship you're supposed to give to a pastor. Hebrews 13:7 and 13:17, very plain about that. Obey those that have rule over you, who've been given charge of your souls, and it goes on and says that, other things. But I'm saying that God is simply saying, woe to that institution whose leadership has claimed its scriptural right without being qualified. Woe to that nation, number two, when leadership is forced leadership. Now follow me carefully. Statement number three. When leadership is forced, it is not leadership. It is autocracy. Let me say it again. The king has a right to say, the young boy king, whether he's a young boy age-wise or a young boy emotionally or a young boy as far as preparedness is concerned. He has a right to say, obey me, the Bible says so, but you better pray an awful lot because when you do, you're going to end up in a lot of trouble. Now, you should because the Bible says it. Number four, forced leadership is almost always caused by weakness. A person cannot lead by ability. A person cannot lead by inspiration. So a person forces his leadership. Let me make it plain, and I'll say this over and over again tonight. We're still supposed to obey the Scripture and follow leadership because God, every country has to have a king or a president. Every city has to have a mayor. Every family has to have a father. Every state has to have a governor. Every church has to have a pastor. Every team has to have a coach, a captain. Every army has to have generals, and every navy has to have admirals. But woe to that navy whose admiral is a child. And woe to that army whose general is a child. And what God is saying here, he's saying leadership has claimed its scripture right without being qualified and prepared. It has forced its leadership
When leadership is forced, it is not leadership, it is autocracy. It is caused by desire. I'm sorry, forced leadership is almost always caused by weakness. And number five, it is caused by a desire for position and power and not a desire to help. Nobody ought to want to be a leader because he gets power. I'm afraid many folks want to be a preacher because they want to get up and blow their stack three times a week. I don't care much about the fellow who says, I want to be a pastor because I just got to preach. That's not a good enough reason. You don't want to be a pastor because you want to love people and help people and mend broken hearts and lift the fallen and help the needy and feed the hungry and win the lost and try to bind up that which is broken. Then don't clutter up the pulpit with your carcass. Number six, I do not believe in forced leadership. Nor will I practice forced leadership. I believe in earned leadership. I believe in prepared leadership. Now, if leadership is not prepared, we're still supposed to follow it if it's in a God-given position. But woe to that land whose leader, whose king, is in that God-given position, claiming the fellowship the Bible says he's supposed to have, but is not prepared enough, and in many cases not man enough to be a leader. So a nation has a boy king. He can say, there it is in the Bible, obey me. And God says, yes, that's what I wrote. Supposed to do it. But woe to that nation. Statement number seven. Now hear me carefully. We are not to read the Bible looking for others' responsibilities. We're to read the Bible looking for our responsibilities. And puny and putrid is the leader who spends his time trying to find out what you're supposed to do to follow him, when he could spend his time trying to qualify himself to be a leader who will inspire fellowship. I hope you're listening. I'm putting my finger now to what's wrong with this nation. I'm going to make a statement right here. I'm going to pull it out later in the sermon and make it. I detest the ERA. I detest the Equal Rights Amendment. I detest the National Organization for Women. I detest it. But it would never have come if men had prepared themselves to be leaders instead of staking their claim to be leaders because the Bible says so. Good night. Bible says obey. Obey what? Submit to what? Submit to some little namby-pamby, sissy, panty-waist that wears lace on his underwear? Is that what you're supposed to submit to? Submit to somebody who, honest to goodness, a preacher. Most preachers have to check with the kitchen before they preach. I'm simply saying that don't you be too hard on these ladies, men. It's our fault because we've not prepared ourselves to become leaders. For example, and I'm not giving any follower tonight license not to follow. I made that very plain at first, and if anybody takes what I'm preaching tonight and goes out and says anything other than that, you'll be a liar. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not giving license to fellowship to fellowship to have anarchy. I'm not doing that. The Bible's very plain. But wouldn't it be nice if a leader could take the Bible and also say, I have prepared myself, and I'm giving you the kind of leadership that is trained and qualified. Now, for example, I read these verses. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now, it's talking about the preachers, and it says rule. Whose faith follow. There it is. Considering the end of their conversation. Look at it again. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that's the preacher, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is profitable to you. And in 27 years, and 1 month and a half, or 1 month and 1 week of pastoring this church, I've never one time preached on either of those verses. Nor will I. Because I am not going to ask you to follow me just because those verses say you're supposed to. Brother, if I cannot inspire you, I'll get out here and I'll get a job peddling peaches or shoveling snow or mowing yards. I'm simply saying we're not supposed to, the leadership is not supposed to read the Bible looking for what fellowship is supposed to do. Leadership is supposed to read the Bible looking for what leadership is supposed to do. When I read Hebrews 13 and 7 and 17 that I just read to you, I don't read those with myself in mind or with you in mind submitting to me. And I will never claim your fellowship because this Bible says you're supposed to, though it does say that. I'll never do it. If I can't earn it, I'll leave it. If I'm not qualified, I'll step down. I will not do it. Now, I look at these verses and I don't say, this is what you're supposed to do. Look at that. That's what you're supposed to do. That's sissy kind of stuff.
There it is in the Bible. Follow me.
A little bunch of panty waist, mama called, papa fed, seminary bred preachers run around the country. Can't preach away out of a paper sack and haven't got any courage at all.
You follow me. The Bible says so.
You sorry rascal, you. I'll follow you, but I'll shoot beans out of a bean shooter in your head as I do. I read those verses and say, my, what a responsibility. That's the way I feel them. I read those verses and say, God's given me responsibility. I better walk straight. I read those verses and say, God's given me responsibility. I better prepare myself. And by the way, I'll guarantee you, I never walked through that door right there and walked behind this pulpit right here unprepared. I'll guarantee you I never do. I don't shortchange you. Now, if you think my preaching is not very much, I'll guarantee you I spend hour upon hour upon hour preparing and praying and searching and seeking what God wants me to say from this pulpit. I read Ephesians 6:1 where it says, children, obey me. I don't read that for me. I mean, I don't read it for them. I don't read that so I can say, children, here it is, though it's there. And any child that disobeys his parents is not right with God. I said, any child that disobeys his parents is not right with God. But parents, if you'd look at the rest of that and say, rear your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, then you'd be a lot better off trying to get qualified so your children would be obeying somebody who's worth obeying. Then you'd have a obeying child who obeys because the Bible says so, and a mom and dad that follows and is prepared. Listen. I followed these doctors, many of them through these years who've gone to medical school in this church. I've seen two doctors 3 years go to medical school, and I've seen those guys prepare for year after year. Dr. Dennis Streeter, he went to college and then to medical school and then internship and then surgeon internship. And I know he must have spent 12 or 13 years, and I saw that man as he sacrificed, and I saw his little wife sacrifice through all those years, and preparing and preparing and preparing, and the tragedy of all tragedies. Here's a young lady going to become a wife. She's going to become a queen of a household. She's going to become someday a mother. She's about to get married. She spends more time on her wedding gown than she does on her soul trying to get ready to be something more important than a doctor. Did you hear me? It's tragic. If we take, and I'm not against nice weddings, but if we take as much time preparing to be wives and husbands as we do preparing the wedding ceremony, we spend more money and more time preparing for one little hour than we do preparing for an entire lifetime. I don't read Ephesians 3:1 so I can say to my children, obey me, obey me. No, I don't. I read Ephesians 6:1 and I read it like this. They're supposed to obey me. And because they are supposed to obey me, heavy, heavy hangs over my head if I don't make the proper decisions. And I must walk with God. And I must stay in the book. And I must live on my knees. And I must be sure that when I say, the Bible says, if I read the Bible says, they're supposed to obey me. I must be sure that responsibility that's been given to me of leadership, I must be sure that I'm prepared. Woe is the child who obeys a child for a father. And he's supposed to do it. God is not saying here, you're not supposed to obey this child king. He's not saying that. They are. But he's simply saying, you're supposed to do it. But unfortunate and woe is the land that has to obey an unqualified leader. It's time that leadership in America decided to claim more than the Bible. That it's time they decided to prepare. It's time they decided to get ready. It's time they decided to live on their knees. It's time they decided to search after God. It's time that leadership and their responsibilities and their Bible instructions became more important than the fellowship's Bible instructions are to them. When I read, wives, obey your husbands, I don't read that for myself. That's not my part of it. When I read, servants or employees, obey your employers, your bosses, I don't read that for my staff's sake to trot myself up to staff meeting on Thursday and say, here it is right here. Fellas, do you see this? Do you see this, fellas? I am your leader. I'd resign before I'd be that kind of poppycock. I'd resign. And by the way, they're supposed to follow me. Bible says it. But I'll guarantee you, if I thought one of these men up here on the platform followed me because I'm claiming the Bible as my right to lead them, I'd resign. I wouldn't lead a staff that I didn't feel like I was giving my best to lead. I wouldn't do it. Rise up, O men of God. Rise up, leaders. Rise up, fathers. Rise up, mothers. Rise up, pastors. Rise up, politicians. Rise up, Sunday school teachers. Rise up, coaches. Rise up, educators. Take this matter of pastoring. I'm not saying I wasn't thrilled when I became a pastor. I was. We didn't have a sign on our little country church. I got a little can of paint about that big and a watercolor brush. I got me a board and wrote on there, Morris Chapel Baptist Church, and under that, I wrote Jack Hiles, pastor. And boy, I got a camera and I stood beside that sign and had my picture taken in every pose in the world. I'm talking about shirt on and shirt off. I mean, boy. But I'm saying, I was honored and pleased, and to be quite frank with you, somewhat proud, that I was pastor of a New Testament church. I've never gotten over that. I believe I hold the highest title known to mankind. I believe that. I believe the Pope bows down, as far as God's concerned, before the pastor of an old-fashioned New Testament church. I believe in a pastor of a New Testament church called by God, led by God, and called by God himself. I believe when he walks up and shakes hands with the President of the United States, the President of the United States ought to be intimidated. When Governor Bowen came to visit us one time, he's former governor of Indiana. He came to visit us one time, spent a weekend here. We had him as our guest. He went down and told the mayor of Hammond. Mayor of Hammond told me this. He said, the governor of Indiana said, you know, when I come to First Baptist Church in Hammond's own time in my life, and I'm intimidated. He said, that man intimidates me. And it ought to be true. I got a bigger job than he had. The job is, the title is important. The position's important. But you know, some of you Hiles Anderson men would work as hard getting ready for a church as you do getting a church, you'd have a church. You'd work as hard preparing yourself. God has a prepared place for a prepared man. You're not going to loaf through school and then all of a sudden you get out of school and say, I want a church, I want a church, I want a church. If you loaf through school, I hope you never get one. Woe to that church that has a pastor. When a child is the pastor, no surgeon with his scalpel is as important as God's man with his Bible. Quit claiming and start preparing. Yes, you have the Bible. But woe is that church that some of you guys are someday going to pastor. You're going to become a pastor someday, and you're going to live on Hebrews 13, 7 and 17. Maybe you ought to live on Matthew 28, 19, 20. Maybe you ought to live on Paul's epistle to Timothy, Titus. Maybe you ought to live in the Word of God, all of it. Study it, memorize it, love it, walk with God, prepare yourself. Woe is that church whose child is a king. Husbands, you can claim Ephesians 5:22. I'll be quite frank with you. If that's only right I had to claim leadership, I wouldn't claim it. I am not giving anybody, I said it a dozen times, I'll say it again, I'm not giving fellowship a license to disobey. If the Bible is plain about anything, it is plain about fellowship obeying leadership. But it's time that leadership got worthy to be obeyed. And it's time, because God has given us such authority, it's time we prepared for that authority. I don't understand it. Doctor spends 12 years preparing to be a doctor. And a mother, a lady expecting a baby, doesn't read 5 books preparing to be a mother. I want to say something here. You're not fit to be a mother just because you got pregnant. And for a doctor to get out of medical school more prepared to cut somebody's gizzard open and take out his appendix than you are to rear that child is folly, hypocrisy, and sin. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours ought to be spent preparing yourself to be a mother. You know, we got convicted about that at Hiles Anderson College, the administrators did. We preached like this all these years, and you know that we couldn't find one college in the entire United States, including Christian college, that gave a degree in motherhood and homemaking. Hiles Anderson College became the first college that I know of in America. Maybe some others, I haven't heard of them. We give a degree. Somebody said, isn't that sort of a cheap degree? What are you talking about? What do you mean? Very idea. You taking motherhood and calling it cheap. Very idea. Every woman that holds that little newborn infant near her breast and that little infant suckers her breast and she gets her own first nourishment from your breast and you hold that child, you ought to be prepared. I mean spiritually. I mean emotionally. I mean mentally to be the right kind of mother for that child. Folly when leadership is a child. Woe to that child and family when a child is the mother. Woe to that family when a child is the father. Now watch it. Listen. Anytime you've got to use force, it's weakness. Some of you Hiles Anderson students, I want to get on you, man. Some of you unmarried students already bossing her around. First place, you haven't gotten a right to boss her around. Never says, fiance, obey thy fiance. You know why? You're too weak to lead her. Well, you're not going to make a good wife. You're not submissive. Oh, I wouldn't marry you. I'd rather be an old maid than marry you. I mean that. You poor little pipsqueak, you. You little putrid peon. You ought to be ashamed. And in some cases, even guys just going steady, not even engaged yet, are insisting that you obey me because the Bible says it. Well, show me that verse, Buster. I know where it is. It's right after that one. It says every tub ought to sit on its own bottom. And right before that one that says finders, keepers, losers, weepers.
Whoa. Well, as a boss. I don't show Ephesians 5:5. To those that work for me. I guarantee you. I'll turn in my card before I will as a leader. Spend my time trying to tell you what you're supposed to do. You know, did you ever play Follow the Leader? Let's play it, okay? Ready? You're not following. The Bible says you're supposed to follow. Are you following? No, you're not. You're standing there. Huh? You're supposed to follow. The Bible says you're supposed to follow. Well, guy's got to go somewhere first. How's God going to follow you when you're squatting? Now, don't you write me some little letter and say you shouldn't have said that in your sermon. Just, you're wasting your time, your ink, your pen, and your paper. When I walk in this pulpit, it's not one, not a bit of your cotton-picking business what I say or do. You don't like that? You can lump it with sugar or salt. That's the trouble, son. You never saw a leader before. You run your husband at home by putting a little ring in his nose, but rings don't fit my nose, sweetheart. Pay attention to me. You pay attention. Now they ought to pay attention. Every child here ought to pay attention. But I'll be honest with you, there's some of you teachers I'd sure hate to have to pay attention to. The very fact that they're supposed to pay attention to you ought to drive you to giving them something to listen to. I've said it a dozen times or more. I'll say it again. I'm not giving a license to fellowship to say, well, unless my teacher's a good teacher, or my preacher's a good preacher, or my dad's a good dad, or my mother's a good mother, I'm not supposed to. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Let me drive that nail in deep. But I want to drive this nail in deep. There's some scriptures for leaders, too. And it's time you started studying yours and kept off the followers for a while. Whoa. To that nation, a land when a child is the king. Woe to that family when a child is the father. Woe to that child when a mother is a child. Woe to that church when a child is its pastor. Woe to that business when a child is its boss. Woe to that school when a child is its principal. Woe to that class when a child is its teacher. Woe to that Sunday school class when a child is its Sunday school teacher. Woe to that department when a child is its superintendent. Woe to that nation when children form its Congress. Woe to that organization when children form its board. Woe to that church when a child is its pastor. God is simply saying, several verses after this, God says, obey the king. That's in the Bible. And he says, if the king is a child, right before that he said, if the king's a child. Yeah, if the king's a child, obey it. But what a tragedy, God says, when he who is obeyed is not prepared, not trained, doesn't give his all, is not prepared as a leader. Prepare read, study, learn, watch, ask. One day, I held a little now 9-pound, 1 3/4-inch girl in my arms and realized that I was a father. I never one time thought, this little girl, she's supposed to obey me. I thought of the responsibility that was mine of leading her. I read every book I could find on being a father. I emptied the library of East Texas Baptist College of books about fatherhood. I read every verse I could find in the Bible that had anything to do with fatherhood. One day, I became pastor of a New Testament church. I read everything I could get my hands on. My Bible says a pastor is not supposed to be a novice. It's exactly what it means right here. It's exactly what it means. It means that leadership is supposed to try to prepare leadership. And you'll be a lot better leader if you'll do your best to prepare leadership and less trying to regiment fellowship. You guys in the Navy know what I'm talking about. When I was in the Army, some guys became officers overseas on the battlefield. Some guys went to officers candidate school, and they became officers by going to school. They put those little second lieutenants on the battlefield. Thousands of them were shot from the back. I'm not kidding. They were. Thousands of them shot from the back. I'm not glad they were shot. But somebody had to be shot. Nobody was more qualified. Sailors are enjoying this right now. You got a few you'd like to shoot in the back tomorrow morning, haven't you? In fact, there's one of them right in front of you right now, probably. Woe to thee, O land, when a child is thy king. I come tonight to speak to fellowship, to say you're supposed to follow. I come tonight to speak to leadership and say you're supposed to prepare and be qualified and constantly be learning. I read from 5 to 6 books every week of my life, and I average 1,500 pages a week of outside reading. No student at Howells Anderson College reads as much as I do outside reading. None of you. And none of you has as little time to do it. But I do it. You know why? When I stand up here on Sunday night at 6:10, I expect to have some answers. When I get up here to preach on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning, if I run out of something to say, I expect to be able to think of something to say. I expect to have my computer programmed. I don't expect to say everything I know on a subject. They all used to say, don't ever say everything you know. Somebody might ask you a question when you get through. Every dad in this room tonight ought to give himself to being a grown-up, mature, well-trained, well-read dad. And every mom in this room tonight ought to spend a heap more time learning about being a mother than any doctor learns how to cut out a gizzard. This country is elevated. I thank God for these doctors, especially when I need one of them. Thank God for them. Thank God for these lawyers in our church. The numbers of them have thanked God for them. And I've seen them as they prepared and worked to become lawyers. So thank God for them. God bless Boyd Glover. Boy, that guy went to school at night and year after year after year, he sacrificed. God bless that good man. But I want to tell you something. Before there was ever a lawyer, there was a mama and a daddy. And before there was ever a doctor, there was a mama and a daddy. And before there was ever either one, there were teachers who taught. Everybody in this room tonight who has any place of leadership ought to take those verses that command the followers to follow you and fall on your face over those verses and say, "Oh my God, if they have to follow me, what a tremendous responsibility I must have. May I give my best, and may I do my best." That's one of the great problems tonight in America. I put my finger tonight at what's wrong with our Congress. We got some children in the Senate. We got some children in the Congress. I believe we have an adult in the White House. But the poor little piddling Congress tying his hands. We have some children in places of leadership. I do not know what sphere of leadership you have, what degree of leadership you have. I say tonight to all of those who follow you, follow you, follow him, follow her. You're supposed to. It's in the Bible. But I say to every person tonight in this room who has any degree of leadership at all, you so prepare and so study and so work and so think of your own responsibility until you'll be worth following. Years ago, in Dallas, Texas, in the Turtle Creek, it's a very exclusive part of Dallas, there's a creek called Turtle Creek, and it's a Turtle Creek neighborhood. And there is a drive on either side of it called Turtle Creek Drive, Turtle Creek Boulevard, or drive. And in that little creek, beautifully manicured creek where the rich people they ever used to, one day a little boy fell in that creek. And that little boy was drowning. A man came by. A man saw the boy drowning. Got out of his car, jumped in the creek, swam over to the boy, saved his life. Pulled him back, got him on his feet. Boy was okay. Never told the boy's name. The boy said, "Sir, thank you. You saved my life." And the man looked and said to the boy, before he drove away, "Then it's up to you to see that your life was worth saving." And I say tonight to fellowship, follow, obey, as the Bible says. But I say to leadership, you be worth their following. Mothers, dads, husbands, wives, preacher students, school teachers, principals, coaches, Sunday school teachers, WMS leaders, bus workers, bus drivers, bus captains. You be concerned about yourself. And I'll guarantee you this. You'll have a lot better fellowship and a lot better, you'll be a lot better leader and a lot more rabid and faithful fellowship if you will spend your life on verses that deal with you. Letting God give you the right to lead because the Bible says it. At the same time, while He gives you that God-given right to lead, you prepare yourself to earn the right to lead. Father, bless the sermon.